Isaiah 35 and 7 says, "And the desert shall become a pool." Now, I was studying this scripture one day, and I had all my books, all my reference books out. And I ran across a translation that read like this. It said, "And the mirage shall become a pool." And I said, well, that don't sound right. I've always thought a mirage was a figma of our imagination. How many has always thought a mirage was a figure of our imagination? Now, I like to see John Wayne movies. You know, I don't know how clean they are, but they're sure cleaner than a lot of other things that's going on TV. I think I'm safe to say that sometimes I like to just sit back and look at an old John Wayne movie. And I kind of pictured this scripture as John Wayne. He's out in the middle of the desert in Arizona. And he's riding his horse. And I want to tell you something. He's just traveling and traveling and traveling, and his horse has died. And the water's out of his canteen, and out in the yonder distance, he sees a mirage, an oasis, palm trees and springs and water, and he hastens toward that mirage. He hastens toward that oasis in the desert. And about the time that he gets there, it escapes him. And it's not there. And it's very disappointing. Well, I've always thought their mirage was a figma of my imagination. And I read in Isaiah 35 and 7 in this one translation, "And the desert shall become a pool," or "the mirage shall become a pool." I said, that don't sound right. And then I looked up the definition of mirage. And here's what a mirage is. The mirage, despite its disappointment in the desert, is actually a reflection of something that does exist somewhere. It is a phenomena caused by the refraction of sunlight upon the hot sand. The sun rays are not vertical. They travel to earth along a measureless convex arc. And so under favorable conditions, they reflect things that actually exist beyond the horizon. Now, every year I go to the Philippines. Sometimes I go twice to the Philippines to minister over there. Now, let me give you a picture of what I believe that the Word of God is saying, "And the mirage shall become a pool." Now, say I am in the middle of the desert of Arizona, and I've lost my horse, and he has died. And all the water is gone from my canteen, and I am nigh unto death. And, oh, I would like to have just one drop of water, and out in the yonder distance, I see an oasis of palm trees and water and springs, and I run through toward that oasis, or I run to that mirage, and all of a sudden it slips my fingertips. But if this definition is true of mirage, let me tell you what this definition is saying. It is saying that if I will follow that mirage, ultimately, it could lead me to the Philippines. Chicago, Illinois is 10,000 air miles to the Philippines. But what this is saying, that the refraction of the sunlight can pick up the picture of an oasis in the Philippines and put it in the middle of the desert in Arizona. Now, let me bring that into theological or scriptural or spiritual terms this morning. The Word of God says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same faith. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And a little later on in the chapter, the word of God says, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I believe that by faith, God wants to take the Lord Jesus Christ and his power and his glory and put it at your feet this morning. Hallelujah. As we looked at this word, I want to share with you just briefly this morning the elements of faith that God is going to be looking for when he comes back for his true church. The first element is found in Abel. The word of God says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. This element is the element of sacrifice. The word of God says in Hebrews 11 and 24, unto Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh of better things than that of Abel. Let us look at the blood. We go all the way back into the Old Testament, and we look at the life of Abel, and we find out that God told Abel, he said, I want you to kill a lamb, and he said, I want you to spill the blood. He said, I want you to know the importance of the blood. And folks, the church again needs to know the importance of the blood and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood prevails. The blood prevails. Justice in the olden days, no matter what the people say, the blood prevails. The blood prevails. I know that the blood prevails. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the most precious blood of Jesus Christ. As we walk through the Old Testament this morning, we find out that God told Moses, when he is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, he said, I want you to get the firstborn lamb. He said, I want you to get a lamb without spot or blemish. He said, I want you to kill that lamb, and I want you to take that blood. And he said, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. My friend, this was the blood for a family. I want to tell you this morning, the blood's on my family. The blood's on J. Albert Calloway. It's on Bev Calloway. It's on Jay Calloway. It's on Vicky Calloway. It's on Nathan, my grandbaby. I don't look old enough to be grandpa, do I? But it's on Nathan, my grandbaby. My friend, it's on Sean, my son who is in prison. I have been faithful to the blood, and God has been faithful to me. Hallelujah. How many thank God for the blood this morning? Give the Lord a clap offering. I thank him for the blood. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. As we walk through the Old Testament, God told the high priest in the tabernacle in the temple, he said, I want you to get a firstborn lamb, a lamb without spot or blemish. He said, I want you to take the blood. He said, I want you to put it on the mercy seat. I want you to sprinkle it there because it is the redemption for mankind. Now, my friend, just briefly, we have had the blood for an individual. We've had the blood for a family. And now we have the blood for a nation. And Brother Graham, you can talk about all the hell that is breaking loose in the United States of America. But I thank God that I'm an American. I thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ is here. I thank God that I can come into this place this morning and talk about the blood. Oh, hallelujah. My brother, I never met you before, but it's the blood. 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 I thank God for the blood for a nation. But my friend, I'm not talking about the blood for an individual. I'm not talking about the blood for a family. I'm not talking about the blood for a nation, but hallelujah, I'm talking about the blood for a world. The word of God says in Isaiah 53:5, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did despise him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The word of God says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, yet he openeth not his mouth. He was sown in weakness, but raised in power, that you and I through him might have life and have it abundantly. The word of God says in John 3:14, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He said, Master, good teacher, Rabbi, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Nicodemus said, Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, am I to enter back into my mother's womb the second time? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Thank God for that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that has quickened my heart and made me to know in whom I have believed. For Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to get that which I have committed unto him against that day. And my friend, I'm so full of the Holy Ghost right now, I just got to shout. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God sent me to Jimmy Swagger's Bible College Thursday and Friday. It started to come together about 2 months ago. Yesterday, I spent an hour and a half with my brother Jimmy Swagger, whom I love so much, whom he's confessed before the whole world and repented of his sins. But he looked at me yesterday and he said, Brother Calloway, he said, all of these years I've been trying to present a perfect Jimmy Swagger to the cross and at the feet of Jesus Christ. He said, I thought I had to be perfect. And he said, God kept rejecting it, and I knew it in my heart. But the other day, maybe for the first time in my life, he said, I laid at the feet of Jesus a devastated and a corrupted Jimmy Swagger. My friend, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't care whether you be J. Albert Calloway or this pastor up here or anyone else. It's the blood. Hallelujah. It's the blood. The first element is the blood. The second element is found in the life of Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My friend, I'm going to make a confession to you right now. I wanted to be through by 12 o'clock, But I don't think I'm going to be. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? Can I be honest? How many will stay with me if I preach 12? And if you have to go, that's all right. But I feel the Holy Ghost. And we got to do what God wants us to do here this morning. And it was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had given him his testimony that he pleased God. Now let us look at the element of translation here. The Word of God says, first of all, he has made us to sit with him in a heavenly place. There is the meaning of translation now. The other day I was visiting my son in prison. And my friend, that's not an easy thing, even though I just run to see him in that prison. And I'll tell you, and our hearts were heavy. And Dajon looked at me and he said, Dad, I'm not down. He says, but it seems as though the world's caving in on me. And all of a sudden, God knew that we needed an extra touch. That Sean and Bev, my wife, and myself. And all of a sudden, he came down with his power and his glory. And in that visiting room, in that prison, he made us his sanctuary. And we saw the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And God tended our hearts and let us see some stars in a dark moment of our life. But my friend, I believe old Enoch here is the type of the church. How many believe Enoch's the type of the church? The Word of God says, by faith, Enoch walked with God and he talked with God. And he was not because God took him. And this is the way I got it pictured. I believe that, you know, my friend, when I started walking with God, I didn't take nearly as long a walk then as I do now. I really didn't. And one day I started walking with God and I got about this far. And then I said, I thought that was good. The next day, I got a little closer. And the next day, I got a little closer. And the next day, I got a little closer. God saved this old boy when he was about 4 or 5 years old. My friend, I kicked my heels up. I should remember. I should be able to sympathize with Sean. Because about 2 or 3 years, I went out and sinned and raised the devil and hell, everything else. But I thank God that he came to sanctify the hell raisers by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Because if you're not glad, my friend, the blood's not for you. But I want you to know God got a hold of my heart. And I begin to walk with him. And I want to tell you something, Brother Graham. The greatest devastation that come to our life was when it came to Sean. But it was the greatest moment of our lives. That lawyer said he'll get only a year. And he got 25 years. My friend, it stopped us dead in our tracks. But in the midst of it, we've seen Jesus. I have walked with God in the last 2 years like I have never walked with him before. I've talked with him. And my friend, this is what I believe is happening. God is doing a great thing in the church. Come on, say amen, church. You may be disappointed. You may be disillusioned. And some of the biggest guns and the greatest people of God have fallen. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to talk to you about a satanic church that has their international headquarters in Springfield, Missouri. Where our international headquarters is. But my friend, I'm going to tell you, God is doing something in this church. He's shaking us down. Let those things that can be shaken be shook, that those things might remain. And we're going to start walking with him. And we're going to take longer walks and longer walks and longer walks. You see, one day, Enoch walked so long with God on this day. God said to Enoch, you're a lot closer to heaven than you are to earth. So I'm going to take you on home with me. My friend, that's what's happening right now. I believe that God is going to let us walk with him and talk with him. And soon and very soon, he's going to say, church, you're a lot closer to heaven than you are to earth. Come on home, my child. Come on home, my church. Thank God for this message. Say amen. The third element is found in the life of Noah. By faith, Noah being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, fear is found in two elements. It's a negative, and it's a positive. And the only way that I know how to explain it, when I was a kid growing up, and I was raised in a home, my mom and dad told me, they said, the privilege of living in this home is that you share in the workload. You notice they said privilege. Every day of my life, from the time I left home, I made my bed. One day I didn't make it. I hate it with a passion. I don't blame you, Brother Graham. I agree with him. My mama don't agree with you. Now I want to tell you something. One day I went to school without cleaning up my room. My mother never checked it until after I went to school. I came home and she said, son, drop your pants. I said, why? She said, you didn't clean your room this morning. She gave me a spanking. I made my room every day from then on. I mean, my friend, it was no ifs, no ands, no buts. Now let me tell you something, young people. You know what? When I was at home, I did what my parents told me to do. You know why? I knew they'd beat the devil out of them if I didn't. I did it out of fear. I didn't do it because I loved them. No way. But I went back to Newton, Texas this last year with my uncle and my mama. My mother went to work this day, and when she come home, the car was washed, it was waxed, it was vacuumed. And she said, Albert, somebody told me you had changed. You really have, haven't you? And then the next day, she went out. She lives in a 14 by 70 mobile home. The next day, I want to tell you something. I took that mobile home. I vacuumed it. I washed the dishes. I made the bed. I dusted. I cleaned from stem to stern. And she came home that day, and she looked at me, and she said, Albert, what in the world is going on here? I said, Mother, I love you. 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 And I want you to know I love you. My friend, I may have come to Jesus because I was scared of going to hell. And I knew I had to be not deceived. God is not mocked. But I want you to know this morning I'm serving Jesus because I love him, because I honor him, because I respect him. The fourth element of a man or woman of faith is the element of obedience. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Zechariah 3:7. Through 10 says, if you'll do all I tell you to do. That's the bottom line of Christianity. My friend, I was pastoring a church of 1,000 in Springfield. I don't have time to tell the whole story. It's a miracle story within itself. God said, I'm going to change your church. Another church called. I thought I was going there. I'm going on evangelistic field. He said, you going to do what? He said, you ever been an evangelist? I said, no. Now, don't offend me, brother. You know what I told him on the phone? I said, I don't even like them. And here I are one. Boy, God knows how to put the hurt on you, doesn't he? You see, I've been a pastor. This man here, I can hear him talk. I believe he's real. But we don't know what a lot of people are doing out there. You have probably a right this morning to look at me and say, I wonder about you, Callaway. That hurts like the dickens. It stinks. But I want you to know something. Because a few people fall don't mean everybody is. And if we don't have confidence and faith in God right now and in one another, this thing will shake. And it will quake. I said, God, I don't even like him. The Lord said, if you'll do all I tell you to do, first of all, I'll let you be an encouragement to the pastor. For you have sat where he is sitting. You have walked where he is walking. God told me this, man, by revelation in my heart. He told me, he said, if you will go into the churches once again, they need revival. He said, I'll let you be an encouragement to this man. And he said, when you walk in the place, once again, we'll see the glory of God. Hallelujah. But it's total obedience. I left a church of 1,000. My friend, this next year, I'm going to give 6 weeks. And I don't say this to the glory of God. God made me commit this to Him because He didn't want me to get too big for my britches. I coveted with God. I'm giving 6 weeks to home mission churches this year. I'm going into little bitty churches, can't afford a revival. I'm going to raise money for them and not take a dime out myself. If you'll do all I tell you to do. If you'll obey me, Pastor. He said, Albert, he said, if you will obey me, my friend, if this man don't obey God, then he can't ask you to follow him. But if he obeys God, then he can ask you to follow him. And he said, if you will obey me, he said, I'll show you my glory. I want you to know something, my friend. It's God's word. And then the last element of faith is found in the life of Moses. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Ask my son, Sean. I've got a tape back there. This is an interview I had with Sean. I asked him 14 questions. Ask him, what led you down the primrose path? He said, first of all, I wanted to do my own thing, Dad. Secondly, he said, pure rebellion. Not just against you, against God. Against everything that was right. He said, Dad, I said no to everything that was good and yes to everything that was bad. One of his closest friends that he was in the drug culture with is in prison now. He had heard that Sean had come to the Lord and was rocking the prison. My son is causing revival in a prison that has 800 inmates. This man looked at Sean and he said, I've heard that you got religion. Sean said, let me correct you. I don't have religion. He said, I have Jesus. There's a lot of difference between the two. He said, Sean, do you listen to rock music? An emphatic no. He said, that is one of the main reasons I was led down the primrose path. I'd like every teenager in this building just to listen to that tape once. To a boy that's been to hell and back. And give you some answers. Then he said, Dad. He says, the reason that I am where I am is because I didn't have guts enough to say no. Moses refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want every teenager in this building every teenager under 25 years of age and under, every single person 25 years of age and under, I want you to stand right now all over this auditory. Every person 25 years of age and under that's single, I want you to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I say, oh God, remain standing, please, just a minute. I say, oh God, don't let me say anything but I think we got to hit things head on right now. My son got very much involved in drugs and sex and immorality and I'm sure pornography and the whole works and things like this. And let me tell you something. I believe when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to come and find a lot of young people in the church that are virgins. Now hear me right now. My kids would come in and they'd say, Dad, everybody's doing it. They won't make me want to believe it. Everybody's not doing it. With what is happening over the last few years, there's a satanic group all over the world that is praying for the fall of the leadership of the Assemblies of God. You can see what has happened in the last few years, and I'll talk about that more tonight. But just because ministers are falling, my friend, doesn't mean that every minister is doing it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Now then, I want a commitment from you this morning. I want every person that is standing right now that would say, Brother Calloway, I'm going to pledge myself to God and to this church and to the world, I'm going to say no to the devil and the flesh for the rest of my life. I want you to come to this altar and stand right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know I kind of put you on a spot. I don't think I've ever done it quite like this before in my life. But my friend, I am so mad at the devil I could kick him into the blackest hour of midnight. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give me a pianist and an organist, a worship leader in the morning. I want the congregation to stand.